Podcast 105, The Church. The Gospel reading for this podcast is Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 to 19. When we think about the church in modern times, it's actually become a concept with a range of meanings. Today, if you ask the average person in Forest Lake in Hamilton, what is a church? You'd probably get the answer, the building on the corner of Carey Street by the water tower. This view is also embedded in our language. We talk of going to church. It is a geographical destination, more than a community. It is a place where certain religious rituals happen, such as services on a Sunday, marriages, and funerals. I read one New Testament definition which says that the church is a group of people who find themselves in a new relationship with one another, because of their new relationship with Jesus Christ. We do go to church. The church is a building, but also the people are the church. And of these two elements, the people are more important, because what use is an empty building? In Jesus' day, the church was literally a community of faith, a band of brothers and sisters bound together in a common way in life. If the church met somewhere, it was usually in someone's home. But that home was not identified as the church. It was simply the place where the church met. The church is God's creation and design. It's his method of providing spiritual nurture for believers and a community of faith through which the gospel is proclaimed and his will is advanced in all generations. Jesus first mentions the church in our gospel reading today from Matthew 13. He affirms the existence of the church as his creation for his purposes. The scripture reading goes like this. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." So this is the first mention of the church in the Bible. Jesus spoke of it here before it had even really begun, and we think of the day of Pentecost as kind of the birth of the church. But Jesus is talking about the church before this as part of his ministry. The word church is the Greek word ecclesia, which comes from the verb kaleo, which means to call. And this is interesting because it's a Greek term, not a Hebrew term. It's not the term used for a congregation in a synagogue, for example. This term is used 114 times in the New Testament, mainly in the book of Acts, the Pauline epistles, and the book of Revelation. And this Greek term was from the democratic tradition of Greece. It referred to an assembly of people who were called out from among the population to meet and make decisions and be instructed. So it was kind of like the city council, I guess, in our modern context. This is what we are. We have been called out of the world into our community of faith. And I just like you to note that there's a range of interpretations for verse 18 where Jesus says, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." There are at least two interpretations of this verse. The first one that the Catholic Church holds to is that the disciple Peter is the rock being referred to. Peter is the keeper of the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and his descendants in the form of successive popes continue this role. The other interpretation held by Reformed churches is that it's Peter's declaration that Jesus is referring to when he says, "On this rock I will build my church," i.e., the declaration Peter makes, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." This is the declaration on which the church is founded. Like most theology, you are free to choose which one makes most sense for you. Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, uses the image of a body with its different parts to illustrate what the church is like. The church is diverse, yet united in its purpose. As Paul states in 1 Corinthians 12, "For we are all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many." Paul declares the great dividing lines of his world, Jew and Gentile, slave or free, to be set aside by the act of joining Christ and becoming part of his church. So every church has dividing lines. We're separated into many congregations. We have the 8:30 service, the Wednesday 10 a.m. congregation, the Abbey congregation, and the Forest Lake Gardens congregation. And we also host the Free Church of Tonga at this church venue. How we integrate these congregations to be more of one body is a challenge. And I think we are basically quite content to be cooperating but separate. And we have three congregations in this locality that are within 10 minutes drive of each other: St. Mark's Norton, Holy Trinity Forest Lake, and All Saints Bryant Park. All three congregations are at something of a crossroads at this time, both financially and in terms of their membership. What possibilities do we need to explore outside of our own immediate location and congregations in order for the church to survive, let alone thrive? And today there are other challenges as well the church faces. One challenge we face is the busyness of our lives. People get to know each other and care for each other by spending time together. This might be easier in a retirement village situation, or maybe even in a cul-de-sac where neighbours know each other. But the community of faith competes with other demands for everyone's attention: your individual needs, your health needs, your family needs, voluntary work you might do, and commitment to sports groups or other groups you belong to. There is considerable competition for both our time and our financial donational dollar. Another challenge as a community of faith is to balance our own pastoral needs with our mission to the world around us. The church is not in this world to serve itself. We are called to love each other as Jesus loved us. But that love is not to be contained inside the boundaries of the church building or the people who make up the community of faith. Jesus sends us out into the world at the end of each church service. As the Anglican liturgy says, "Go now to love and serve the Lord. Go in peace." And the congregation reply, "Amen. We go in the name of Christ." So at the end of each service, all of us are sent out to serve him in the world. And as we seek to serve God in our lives as a church, we must at the same time have three orientations. We have an upwards orientation to look at God. We have an inwards orientation to care for each other. And we have an outwards orientation to serve and be missionaries in the world. So how do we as a church find ways to commit to each other in some kind of substantial form so we can love each other as Jesus loved us? For a community of faith, we need to have some kind of common life together. However, whatever we do, be it a social gathering or a film night or a Bible study or a mission project or a church service we go to, It needs to be intentional. We need to spend time with each other to get to know each other better and to know what's going on in each other's lives. Jesus' command to his disciples is to love one another. We can only do that if we know what's happening in each other's lives. Each of us as disciples has to take responsibility for our own faith journey in terms of working out how we obey this command from Jesus and develop relationships with other people, both those inside the community of faith and those outside it. So this three-step focus, upwards, inwards, outwards, all three components are essential for a healthy church. And to finish, I would like to quote from the person currently occupying the shoes of the fisherman, Pope Francis. He says this about the church: "We need to avoid the spiritual sickness of a church that is wrapped up in its own world. When a church becomes like this, it grows sick." So, to sum up, the church is a community of faith, and also it meets in a particular place or building. But of those two components, the community of faith, the people, is the most important component. Secondly, the church is an inclusive society which helps and cares for each other. And thirdly, the church must look upwards to God, inwards to each other, and outwards to the world, because the church's purpose is to be a mission to the world.